Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Vayera. We shall start at the beginning, which in the art scrolls on page 78. Excuse me. Vayera elav Hashem, and Hashem appeared to him, referring to Avram, Be'elene Mamre, in the plains of Mamre, V'yeshe Pesach Hayach Kachayim Hayoyim, and he was sitting at the opening of the tent in the heat of the day. So Avram has just had his bris milah, and now he's sitting at the tent in the heat. And the pasuk says, Hashem appeared to him. Now, one of the things that the commentaries point out here is that we have the parsha beginning with Hashem appearing to him, but there's no message from Hashem to him ever recorded. There's no mention of Hashem speaking to him. There's no mention of Hashem giving him a message. It just says Hashem appeared to him. And that's it. Rashi says, on these words, Vayera Elav, and he appeared to him. Rashi says, Levaker es hachayla. Hashem was coming to visit the sick. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina said, Yom Shlishi l'milasei haya. It was day three from his bris. V'akadosh Baruch Hu v'shal b'shleim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and basically came to see how he's doing. So the third day, the Gemara says, is the worst day after the bris, and that was the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avraham to see how he was doing, so to speak. And it's from here that we learn the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim. It's from here we learn this act of visiting the sick, from the way Hashem came and visited Avraham in Shal B'Shleimai, which means, in a little translation means, and asked about his welfare, asked how he was doing. But this appearance of Hashem to Avraham is not to give any kind of special message that needs to be related. All it is it's a visit. It's a visit to the sick. That's how Rashi learns. I want to share with you now the Sefornu's explanation here about what it means Hashem appeared to him. So the Sefornu says, Kisham Nimol Avraham Az. Avraham had just performed a bris milah, circumcision on himself. Wasn't only Avraham who had a bris done to him, his entire household had a bris done. Sham hayifia hakel yisparach shchinasai. It is there that God brought down his divine presence. La'amayid bebris, to be there at the creating of this covenant. K'mishpat l'chol karisei bris, like we find any two people who make a treaty, who make a covenant between each other, both parties are present. And the Sefornu gives different sources. And therefore, what is Hashem doing here according to the Sefornu? Well, this is a bris milah. This is a covenant between Hashem and Avraham. When you have a covenant, both parties of the covenant, both parties of the treaty are present. Okay. V'nira la'Avraham. Now, so what he really saying, what the Sefornu is saying here is that in the place where the bris was taking place, Hashem is present. So it's not a specific appearance to Avraham. It's an appearance at the place where the treaty is being made, which is the house of Avraham. But it only says that Hashem appeared to him. So the Sefornu explains, V'nira la'Avraham, sh'yamuchan mikulam lo'isa hamara. It appeared to Avraham because Avraham was most fit to be able to see this vision. Avraham was the only one who was great enough to really be able to understand, see, feel what was going on here, that Hashem's presence was there. It wasn't specifically a vision, a revelation to Avraham. It was really a revelation to the whole household. Just that it only appeared to Avraham. Avraham was the only one who saw it, because Avraham was the only one who was really fit to be able to see such a thing. It brings another example where, again, when Hashem came to the burning bush, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe. God's Shekhinah rested in the bush. And then Moshe met up with it. Okay. Aval hofia Shekhinah selekabel bris benoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought his divine presence to accept the treaty of his son. Ka'amroi, like Hashem said, Beini u'beinecha v'darei seichem, between me and between you for all generations. Okay, therefore, the Sefornu was saying, what is this appearance of Hashem to Avraham about? It's about being at the bris. When you make a covenant, you make a treaty with someone, both parties are present. Hashem was present in Abraham's house because there was a bris, there was a treaty, a covenant going on. Abraham was the only one who saw Hashem's presence there because he was the only one that was worthy or great enough to be able to see. Then the Sephardim concludes with an interesting line. Perhaps this is the reason for the custom to prepare a chair at the time of a bris milah when it's taking place in its place. You prepare a chair there. Now, we call that chair, if I believe we're talking about the same thing, we call that the kisei shel Eliyo. We call it the chair of Eliyo, because we have a tradition that Eliyo HaNavi is present at the bris milah. So we do a kisei shel Eliyo, a chair for Eliyo. But the Sephardim is saying that the way the Sephardim seems to be saying it is that, you know what that chair is there for? For the Ribbono shel Olam. Because Hashem is at, there's a bris going on here. There's a treaty going on here. Or at least it's a commemoration, or at least in the sense it's a continuation of the treaty. Well, Hashem was present at the first treaty. And it would seem like, according to the custom, we're saying that Hashem is present at all, as wherever the treaty extends to, Hashem is present, because it's a treaty between him and that Jewish child being given a bris. He's entering the covenant. And according to this custom, would either be saying that when another child is entering the covenant, he's there, just like he was there the first time when the covenant was made. Or maybe he means it's coming to commemorate how Hashem was when the covenant was first made with Abraham. Hashem was there, but the point of the chair is, according to the Sephardim, about Hashem's presence at the bris. Whether we're saying Hashem's presence the first time of the first bris with Abraham, does it mean at every bris? Which I think that's probably what he does mean. But the point is that the chair that we prepare is for Hashem, who is present. Because when there is a bris between two parties, both parties are present.
There's somebody sitting on the chair, right?
No. The baby is put on the kisei shel Eliyo. Oh. I mean, according to the customs that I know of. But the baby is put down there for a point of time. But the Sephardim seems to be saying it's about this, what was happening in this part in the parasha, where Hashem is appearing to him, according to Sephardim, to be present at the making of this treaty between him and Avram and all generations. Okay, that's the Sephardim's explanation. Now I want to share with you the Rashbam's explanation. The Rashbam, on these words, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him, says the Ramban, Ha'ech, and how did Hashem appear to him? Shabo Elav Shleishas Anashim Shayu Malachim. Because three men who were really angels appeared to Avram. According to the Rashbam, there is no vision here, there is no presence of Hashem here. The presence of Hashem is the presence of the angels. The Rashbam is saying, what's the point of this appearance? There's no message. There's no message from Hashem to Avram. What's the point? Rashi says it's visiting the sick. The Sephardim says it's because Hashem is there at the bris. And the Rashbam is saying, we're not referring to Hashem, we're referring to the malachim, the angels. Because the three men who are meeting Avraham, we really know they were angels. Shabaharbe mekaimus kshenira hamalach, we find many places where a malach appears. Kareibulashin shchina. The malach is described with the word shchina, it's described as the appearance of Hashem, of Hashem's divine presence. Kedachsiv kshmir bekirbay shulcha kamaisai. My name is in its midst. That's talking about the angels who lead the Jewish people in the desert, Eretz Yisrael. Shlucha kamaisai, his agent is like him. The angel is the agent of Hashem. An agent is like the person who sends it. It's like the person who sent out the agent to do whatever the person bids. So therefore, the malach, who's the agent of Hashem, is referred to as Hashem because he represents Hashem. He's the agent of Hashem. Okay? And then he gives other examples. So therefore, according to the Rashbam, Vayera Lav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. This is not a vision from Hashem. It's not a prophecy. It's not a vision from Hashem. This is the way the angels that are appearing are being described. We find many times that an angel is referred to, is called by Hashem's name. And that's what's happening here. Hashem appearing to him is the angels that came to visit Avraham. Okay. Now, I want to go to the Arachayim. The Arachayim asks the following question. He asks a grammatical question. The pasuk reads, Vayera Elav Hashem, which we translate, Hashem appeared to him. It really should say, Vayera Hashem Elav. It should say, Vayera, the action. Whose action? To whom? That's the way the order should be. It should be, Vayera Hashem Elav. Hashem appeared to him. Not, he appeared to him, Hashem, going back and he appeared. Why is that order? He says, in other places we find where it does say, Vayera Hashem al Avram, Vayera Hashem. It's other places it says that where it talks about Hashem appearing to Avram, it says the word appearing, but it says, Vayera Hashem, Hashem appeared to him, not, he appeared to him, Hashem. Why here is that changed? Okay. Another question he asks is, the question we said before, Manemer Lavram Benevuazu. What was told to Avram here? We don't find anything being said, anything being told. So therefore, he says like this. Says the Arachayim, V'nira ki kavanas ha-kasav hi shaba lo hidiyai shehishra Hashem shchinasei Allah v'nasa merkava l'shchina. V'timitza sha'am ruzal sha'aves merkava l'shchina. There is a concept, the aves are the chariot of the divine presence. Divine presence rests on them. The same way the divine presence rested in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, which means there was a constant presence of the Shekhinah there. The Avos had a constant presence of the Shekhinah resting on them. At this point, Hashem is letting Abraham know that he has reached the level that the Shekhinah is resting on him. This word, by if it says Hashem appeared to him, that's translated as Hashem appears to him. He's appearing to him. He wasn't there before. He's appearing, and now he's going to give him a message. Vayera Elav Hashem implies that there is an appearance on him of Hashem, and that means to say that the Shekhinah now was resting Avraham. Avraham always had a presence of the Shekhinah resting on him. Any other prophecy now that Hashem delivers to Avram, there is no more Vayera Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. Ela Vayomer Hashem, Hashem spoke. Why? Because Hashem was always there, a crown on his head. You don't need Hashem to appear to Avram. Hashem's there. Hashem's resting on Avram. Now, he just has to talk. So now, anytime Hashem delivers a message to Avram, anytime Avram has a prophecy, doesn't say Hashem appeared, because Hashem doesn't have to appear. Hashem appeared before, and he's still there. The Shekhinah is still there. Just that now, the next step is for the Shekhinah to speak to him. So therefore, the first explanation of the Arachayim here is that there is no message. It's Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. Hashem appeared, so to speak, on him. Hashem now rested his divine presence on Avram. Avram is a merkava, he's a chariot. The divine presence is always resting on Avram. That is what took place here. Another explanation the Arach Chaim gives is, Oid Yirtza Loimar, Ki Achar Shemal Avraham Az Nigla Bevesar, Oid Yirtza Hashem Emtsayis Hamila Nira Hashem Eilav, Beshleimus Kalalas Ar Elyon, Ki Yesh Bevechinas Hare'iya Baruchu Hadrogesu Lamayla Mizu, What's happening here is that, yes, Avraham has been a prophet beforehand. However, there are many different levels of prophecy. Once Avraham now had a bris milah, he now reached the full level of prophecy. So to speak, his prophecy was now at its clearest and highest level. All because of the bris milah. Before the bris milah, it wasn't that way. But now it's b'shleimus klolus ara elyoy. Now he has a complete... that he has the complete upper light. I'd understand it as being that now his prophecy is as clear, it's the highest level of clarity for him. And that's what it means when it says, Vayera Elav Hashem. Shedeskaben loymar ki mashigia me'ariya Elav hu kol b'chinas havaya shema nichbet. What appeared to him? Hashem. The name of Hashem and all its clarity now appeared to him. And therefore, that's why we have this change in the order. It's not Hashem appeared to him, but appeared to him, Hashem. The name of Hashem, God in all his glory, in all its clarity, is what now appeared to him, and that is what's happening here. Avraham is now reaching his full level of nevuah because he had a bris milah done to him. Okay? So those are the two explanations of the Arachayim, what I share with you here. These words, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem, instead of saying Vayera Hashem Elav, directly Hashem appeared to him, but he appeared to him Hashem, is bringing out these ideas. Either that now Hashem is resting, he's a Merkava, he's a chariot for Hashem's divine presence, that is now the level he reached, and Hashem now is constantly with him, or it means that now Avraham has, because of the Bris Milah, he has now reached the highest and fullest level of prophecy that he could reach. Okay. Next. So Rashi on the words, Techom Hayom, on the heat of the day, which says, again, in the first pasuk, Rashi says on the words, Techom Hayom, Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chamim Min Artika, Hashem brought out the sun from its pouch, so to speak, meaning Hashem brought out the sun in its fullest, in its fullest power, in its greatest heat, so as not to trouble him with guests. Once Hashem saw that Avraham was suffering over the fact that he didn't have guests, he now brought angels to him in the form of men. Now, clearly, Avraham, we know, is very ill. He's an old man, he's very ill after a bris milah. Hashem made it hot enough that there's nobody outside, no one's traveling. According to the Medrash, Avraham, even before this happened, Avraham sent Eliezer out to go look for guests, and he came back empty-handed. And because Hashem sees Avraham is basically suffering over the fact that he doesn't have guests, he now brings the three angels disguised as men. Avraham, if there's no guests around,
he says Eliezer, look for guests?
It says that in Medrash, they said that. Now, Abraham clearly is exempt. He has there's no mitzvah here. There's nobody there. There's nobody there to serve. They were there to serve. There's no mitzvah, right? But Abraham is not satisfied with that. Abraham is not satisfied. Because Abraham doesn't do a chesed, Abraham doesn't do a kindness as a reaction to a need. When there is a need, you react with kindness. Avraham's kindness is the way that he emulates the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way he emulates God is by doing kindness. God is constantly doing good with the world that he created. And to emulate Hashem, Avraham wants to constantly do kindness. And when he doesn't have the opportunity to do his kindness, he's upset about it. He's suffering over it. Because Avraham is doing kindness, it's not about filling a need. It's not about or only filling a need. It's about emulating Hashem. Now let's look a little bit further. Let's look at Pasuk Beis. Vayisa Eina Vayar. He lifted his eyes and he saw. V'hine Shleishana Shimli Tzavim Alav. Behold, three people were standing by him. They were standing afar. Vayar and he saw. Vayaretz Lekrasam. And he ran to greet them. V'pesach Ha'el from the opening of the tent. V'yishtachu Arza. And he bowed down to the ground. Now here, there is an obvious question. The pasuk says, he lifted his eyes and he saw three men. Then again it says, and he saw. What was the second time that he saw? So Rashi explains, Vayar. Rashi says, Mahu Vayar Vayar Shnei Pa'amim. Why does the pasuk say, and he saw twice? Harishin Kamashmoy. The first one is simple. He saw them, he noticed them. Vahasheni Lashon Havana. The second seeing here actually means he was understanding, he was figuring out, he was contemplating. He saw that they were just standing there. He saw them, but he saw further that they were just standing there. And he understood that why were they just standing there? Because they didn't want to trouble him. They didn't want to run away from him because that wouldn't be respectful. But they stood there, not approaching him, to make it clear that they really didn't want to trouble him. And what did Avraham do? And Avraham just went out, he jumped out of his seat, ran to them to get them to come in. So the second Vayar is that he noticed something. He noticed it, and he thought about it, and he figured out what was going on. When he saw these people, he saw that they were just standing there. And he saw that why were they standing there? Because he didn't want to trouble him, and therefore he ran out. So again, we have an example here where Avraham, there are people there, right? Basically, they're saying to him, It's all right. We're Michael. We let it. We forego. It's all right. You don't have to come. We're okay. You don't have to do it. They're exempting him. Nope, that's not good enough for him. Because again, Avram doesn't do kindness only as a reaction to a need. Avram does kindness because kindness is the way of emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, there's a famous story which, not exactly on the same line as this, but somewhat related. There's a famous story that someone once approached the Beis Halevi and asked the Beis Halevi if on the Seder night if you can use milk instead of wine. They don't have wine, and they want to know if they could use milk. So the Beis Halevi told him, no, you have to use wine. And he took out money, and he said, here's money. And the money that he gave him was clearly not just for wine. It was more than for wine. Give him a lot more money than just for wine. Maybe even told him, here's money for wine and meat. But basically, you know, he gave them more than money for wine. So those around him saw that, you know, he was giving more money than what clearly they were asking. They're missing wine. That's where they're asking about milk. So give them enough money for wine. Why'd you give them more money? So the answer was to the Beis Halevi, because obviously, if they wanted to use milk for the Seder, they didn't have any meat. Because if they had meat, the first two cups could be with milk, but not the other two. So therefore, he figured out that not only didn't they have wine, they didn't have meat either. So in this case also, you see that the students or whoever it was that asked them the question, they just basically looked at what was in front of them, the need in front of them, what was obvious in front of them. But the Beis Halevi was focused deeper. And I think that's because the Beis Halevi was focused on helping. The Beis Halevi was more attuned to helping. He was more attuned to being to help these people. He was attuned to seeing their needs. And therefore, he saw what was beyond that was what was in front of him. And that's why he figured this out. The other people around him didn't figure it out because they just saw the need in front of them. The Beis Halevi, who was attuned to helping people as much as he can, he was able to see further. Something that, again, if you think about it, it's almost obvious. But you see, people don't notice it like that. They kind of just look at what's in front of them. A greater person, a person who's more attuned to helping, is going to see things in a greater picture because he's not just there to focus on one specific way of one specific need. He's there, he's focused, attuned to helping the whole person, helping the person as much as possible. Okay. Now, okay.
So that's why you say the two vayars. Yeah,
the Rashi says the two vayars are because the first vayar is he saw them, he noticed them, and the second vayar means that he started thinking about them and thinking about what was happening.
Like because he
no, no, it's just it's not exactly like that. It's just the Rashi's thing is the second vayar is just that, and he noticed something else. And by noticing that something else, he started trying to figure out that something else. He noticed not only were they there, but they were just standing there. And they tried figuring out why they're standing there. That's the second vayar. Okay. Let's take a look now at Pasuk Gimel. Vayoymar. Avraham said, Adonai imna matzah seichein beinecha alno savar me'al avdecha. My master, if I now find favor in your eyes, do not pass from your servant. Yukaf no mat mayim, let a little bit of water be taken, wash your feet, I'll bring you food, etc. As the rest of the story goes on. So who is Avraham addressing when he says that first word, my master? So Rashi says, Legado shebehem amar, ukram kulam adoinim. Basically, he was addressing whoever appeared to be the leader amongst the group, and he referred to them all as my masters, meaning he's talking to these people. He ran over to them, and he's addressing them as my masters. He's talking to these people who, they're really angels, but he thinks they're people. Rashi then has another explanation, davar acher, kodesh. Here, this word, my master, is the word Adnei. It means Hashem's name. He's talking to Hashem. He was actually speaking to Hashem, asking Hashem to wait for him, so that he can able to go run and bring in the guests. Okay. So according to the second explanation, Hashem appeared. Avraham basically excused himself from Hashem's Shechina, and he went to take care of the guests. And it's from here that the Gemara says, we derive from here, Gedolei Bachnas says, Arecham Yosem Mekabalas Pnei Hashechina. Taking care of guests is greater than receiving the divine presence. Here, Avraham's in the midst of a experience with Hashem's divine presence, and he basically excuses himself to leave that experience to go take care of the guests. So you see that taking care of guests, hachnasas arkim, taking care of guests is greater than experiencing Hashem's divine presence.
There was one interpretation in the beginning that there were no Hashem. These three
right. came and he's talking to them.
He's talking to them.
Right. The second explanation is he's talking to Hashem. Okay. Now, there is a there's a famous story with Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski of Vilna Zatzal. And the story goes that someone came on Sukkot to visit him. The way I've heard the story was a prominent person came to visit him. Somebody came to visit. A prominent person came to visit Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski. Okay. And Rav Chaim Isaac was sick. And Chaim Eizer's wife told the guest that he couldn't come out, but Reb Chaim Eizer would be very upset if he wouldn't come into the sukkah and have something to eat. And the person agreed, so he sat down in the sukkah and he was given something to eat. A little while later, who comes into the sukkah to sit with him? Reb Chaim Eizer Grudzinski himself. So the guest said to Reb Chaim Eizer, you know, we know the halacha is mitzdara, someone who's suffering is exempt from being in the sukkah. If you're really sick and being in the sukkah causes you discomfort because you're sick, then you're exempt. So why are you coming out? So Reb Chaim Eizer's answer is, you're right. Because I'm sick, I'm potter from the mitzvah of sukkah. But it doesn't exempt me from the mitzvah of achnasas arachim. That's what he said. Famous story. It doesn't exempt me from the mitzvah of achnasas arachim. Okay. I recently heard a similar story, just not with a sukkah. Rav David Lipschitz Zatzal was Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chanan, and the story goes that someone came to visit him, and the person brought his wife. And at one point during the conversation, Rav Lipschitz says to the man, "It's time. No, we need to daven mincha now. Let's daven mincha." So the man said, "Why don't we go to shul?" So Rav Lipschitz said, it's not appropriate to leave your wife alone. Your wife came, it's not appropriate to leave your wife alone. And Chazal say, receiving guests is more important, is greater than experiencing a revelation from Hashem. Okay, davening with a minion is experiencing the Shechina, but Achlus HaSarachim is more important. So in both these stories, what I found interesting, or at least a point to be made, which is probably not a big chiddush, nothing novel, but the hachnasas arachim in both cases was not to leave the guest alone. You know, if you have a guest, you know, you have a guest, then part of taking care of that guest is companionship. And to go and leave the guest alone is not taking proper care of the guest. I mean, the person in the sukkah, he had what to eat. What wasn't the problem? Chaim Eizer came to keep him company because it wasn't appropriate that he should be there alone. And according to this other story, the religious didn't want to leave this person's wife alone. You know, imagine. They'd go out to shul, leave her alone in the apartment. It's uncomfortable for her. And therefore, he didn't want to do it. So the taking care of the guests there, in both cases, was the fact that the guest shouldn't be left alone. And in a very practical and important halachic you know, ramification, we have a situation where it would be that this idea of Achnasas Archim being more important than experiencing Hashem's divine presence translates into a situation that if it's a question of taking care of a guest or davening with a minion, you take care of the guest. So I want to share with you, now I'm not saying this as a, you know, I'm not making a psak halacha, I'm not making a halachic decision here. But I just want to share with you these ideas. So I have in front of me a sefer called Halicha Shloimei. Halicha Shloimei is a collection of halachic decisions from Shloimei Zalman Auerbach. Zatzal. And he and they bring down from him the following. Someone has a guest. He'll feel embarrassed, uncomfortable if they leave him alone. He should take care of the guest. Even if because of that you're going to miss davening with a minyan. You know, by the time you get done with the guest, there'll be no more minyanim. There will be no more minyanim available. The Bachai Gavnach says, "Archem Chashuva Yersim Tefillah Betzibur." In this kind of circumstance, Hachnasas Archem is more important than davening with a minyan. Ach im ein ha'oyrach b'mayer. Just that if the guest is not in a hurry, he's not in a rush. I mean, he's not in a rush to leave. The gam baru lo shlo yikalem, and you know he won't feel embarrassed or uncomfortable. Yeshu lo hidia b'derech kaved. You should tell him in a respectful way. Shalom lechus his palo. He needs to go daven with the minyan. Vakshinu lahamtin atchiyashav, and he'll ask him to stay until he comes back. Meaning, if the guy's in a rush, he's got to go, right? Tell him to wait. It's uncomfortable. Or if leaving him alone is uncomfortable, okay. But if you know neither of those are an issue, then you nicely tell him that you need to go. Would he please wait till he comes back? The same thing would be if, let's say, there's somebody else home, right? There's somebody else home that can keep the person company just as well as you, right? Then, okay, so go daven. You don't have an issue then. And another question is, when you talk about an oirach, a guest, what exactly constitutes a guest? What constitutes exactly the need of a guest? From the stories that we talked about, these people came and they were visiting and he didn't want to leave the person alone. So, if you ever have any kind of situation like this, you should try to ask a shayla, because I'm not trying to make any unlucky decisions here in covering all the details. But it is a very, very fascinating idea of how this idea of the Kabbalah's Pnei Ashchina, I'm sorry, of Achnasas Archim, of hospitality, taking care of guests, is more important than the experience of the Shechina, of experiencing the Shechina, translates possibly into a practical halacha. That it would mean that in a situation where you need to take care of a guest, and leaving the guest alone would either be delaying the guest or making the guest feel uncomfortable, if it would be that or missing the minyan, there would clearly be circumstances where we say miss the minyan.
What about saying Kaddish?
Same idea.
Really?
Same idea. So Kaddish is not more important than davening with a minyan. Kaddish is not more important than davening with a minyan.
Would you leave the guest to go and say Kaddish with a minyan?
Again, if it would be a situation of him feeling uncomfortable, then you wouldn't. I would think. It's not, we make a big, I mean, again, I understand that. We make a big thing out of saying Kaddish. It is a big thing. It's not more important than having a minyan.
No, but the question, can you leave somebody like
that? It's the same idea. The same idea. If it makes him uncomfortable, if you wouldn't leave him to go daven with a minyan, you wouldn't leave him to say Kaddish. That's what I would think. Now, they also bring down here something else very interesting from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And Shlomo Zalman Auerbach quoted from the Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Toldos Yaakov Yosef is a Chassidish Sefer. He was a student, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef brings the following comment from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said, that which we say, that which Chazal said, again, that taking care of guests, hospitality is greater than receiving the Shechina, Hainu, meaning, what does that mean? Shalapa'amim achnasas archim. Sometimes the achnasas archim take care of the guests who bitul Torah. It comes up being time wasted from learning Torah. A sipuri lashon hara. Or it could even turn into hearing, speaking lashon hara. Still, achnasas archim is greater. So the question is, perhaps you can understand it being greater than it includes not being able to learn Torah. If there's the Chafetz Chaim says, if you're the only person to take care of the guest, and because of that you can't study Torah, well, it's like any other time we say, if somebody needs something, if a chesed needs to be done, if a mitzvah needs to be done, and you're studying Torah, if someone else can do it, let the other person do it. If there is no one else to do it, and you got to do it, then you interrupt your Torah study and you do it. Okay. That we can understand. But you could speak Lashon Hara to take care of Archon? That seems to be problematic. What exactly does that mean? Okay. But what he did, interestingly, at the end they say, but he says, would mention this, tell this Yaakov Yosef, sometimes Rav Shlomo Zalman had guests that were very simple people. They didn't study Torah. They just kind of spoke chatter. And he basically was, we'll call it, he was stuck just having chatting with them because that's all he could do with them. Of course, that meant he gave up time from his ability to learn or do other important things that he did. Okay, but that's when he quoted this saying from the Baal Shem Tov, that when we say that Hachnasas Archem is greater than receiving the Shechina, that includes Bittul Torah, it includes taking away from time for Torah, you know, that this would be an example. You have guests, they're just chatting around, and you got to chat with them to take care of them, but that's their Hachnasas Archem, that's what they need, that's caring for them, and that has to be done, even if it means losing out on time from studying Torah. Okay. The next thing that I want to discuss, turn a couple of pages. We know that after the angels leave, they go to destroy the city of Sodom. And the parasha describes that whole event of the destruction of the city of Sodom. And Lot was saved. So, if you look on page 88... Page 88, Patsach Chavtes, which is four lines from the bottom. Vayibishaches Elohim Esarei Akikar. And it was when Hashem destroyed the cities of the plain. Vayiskar Elohim Es Avraham. And Hashem remembered Avraham. Vayishalach Esloit Mitoecha Hafecha. And he sent out Lot from the midst of the upheaval. Vafeches Ha'ar Mashayashav En Lot, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu overturned the cities in which Lot lived. So the Torah is saying that why was Lot saved? Because Hashem remembered Avraham. What's the connection between remembering Avraham and sending out Lot from stone as it's being destroyed? So Rashi says, a famous Rashi, that what this means is, V'yizkar Elokim es Avraham, ma'u zchiras shel Avraham aloit. What is this remembering of Avraham regarding Lot? Nizkar shehaya Lot, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam remembered, or Hashem kept in mind, that Lot knew that Sarah was Avraham's wife. And he knew that Avraham said about Sarah that it's his sister. But he didn't reveal it because he had mercy on him. Therefore Hashem had mercy on him. Lot had mercy on Avraham. They didn't turn him in and tell Apara he's lying, it's really his wife. And because he had mercy on Avraham, Hashem had mercy on him. Now the obvious question is, why would Lot do that? Why would what kind of merit of that is Lot? Lot would really turn in his uncle like that? So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to get a good explanation for this Rashi. One explanation that is offered is that we know that Lot liked money. And in Lot's mind, this could have been a real way of cashing in, of letting Parah know the truth here, and really being able to do everything, you know, so to speak, you know, I couldn't call it clean because they're going to kill Avraham. But perhaps, you know, if Lot would have let Parah know what the real story here is, he could have fetched a nice reward for it. And even though it's his uncle, the uncle who took care of him, still, you know, money does crazy things to people. And therefore, it could be that this merit of Lot not snitching on Avraham was more about the fact that this really was a chance for him to get a reward of money. And we know how much Lot loved money, but he still held himself back and did not hand Avraham over to Parai. That's Rashi's explanation. The Ramban has a different explanation.
Lot was Sarah's brother's son?
Excuse me?
Lot. How was he related to Avraham?
He's a nephew.
How? Because?
From Avraham's brother.
Not Sarah's brother, Avraham's brother.
And Sarah was Lot's sister?
No.
It was cousin. His father, Haran.
Cousin. No, Nachar. She was from Nachar. Lot was from Haran. Lot was from Haran, and Sarai was from Nachar.
Oh, so was his
uncle. Don't worry, I thought about that last week. Okay, that's why I have it a little bit clearer in my head, because I just thought about this last week.
She was from Nachar.
Right, so basically they were all three cousins. No, Avram and Sarah were cousins, and Lot was a nephew.
No.
Right. Nachar was the brother of Besuel. Yeah. Haran was the son of Besuel. Not Besuel. Terach.
Terach.
Terach is Abraham's father. Terach's brother was Nachar, and Terach's son was Haran.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, now we got it.
Terach's son was Haran. That's Abraham's brother.
Correct. Okay. Now, here we are. Vayiskar Elokim es Avraham vayishalach es Lot. Ina kasev hazeh. What does this mean here when it says that Hashem remembered Avraham and he sent out Lot? So ina kasev hazeh ki Lot nischasit im hatzadik. Lelechas imoy lashut ba'aretz pa'asher yelech. Vushenemai vayelech itoy Lot. Ki letzabeh shaloi halach. Lot did a chesed for Avraham. When Avram left to go to Canaan, Lot went to accompany Avram. That's what he did. He was a nephew. This was his uncle. He went with his uncle to accompany him. Lot did not have to leave. Lot left to accompany Avram. It was a chesed. He was doing it for Avram, that Avram shouldn't be alone. He was there accompanying Avram. That was his chesed, his kindness to Avram. V'lochein hayo lo yischus lahatzi lo yischus Avram. And therefore, Lot had the merit to be saved in the merit of Avraham. So Lot's chesed allows him to be able to cash in on the merit of Avraham. If Lot wouldn't have done a chesed with Avraham, he'd have no connection there. There'd be no connection with Avraham that for the merit of Avraham to save Lot. Now that Lot did a kindness to Avraham, so now he deserves the merit of Avraham. Now, I think offhand, if I were to ask what was the merit of Avraham, you'd say, well, Avraham was a tzaddik. Avraham was Hashem's beloved. So to speak, so as not to hurt Avraham, Lot was saved. And that could only happen if Lot had some kind of merit, some kind of kindness that he did to merit Avraham's merit. But the Ramban doesn't stop there. The merit of Avraham, says the Ramban, is ki bavura yu gar b'stein. Why did Lot land up in Stein? He landed up in Stein because of Avraham. Velulei Avraham, and if not for Avraham, Oyidenu Haya Bacharan Amalatai, he would have still been home. Velo Yitochen Shatavai El Avraha, and it's not possible, or it shouldn't happen, that some kind of evil should come Ba'avor Avraham Shayatza B'mitzvahs Kainai, because of Avraham who went out with the commandment of his Creator. Avraham left Haran because Hashem told him to. Because Avraham left Haran, Lot left Haran. And therefore Lot landed up eventually in Stein. So because Lot lands up in Stein, because of the fact that he accompanied Avraham, who left because Hashem told him to do so, then Lot has to be saved. He's got to be saved. Once he has the merit of doing a kindness with Avraham, now he can be saved in the merit of Avraham, which the Ramban seems to say means that if Avraham did Hashem's mitzvah by leaving, then no bad should come from such a thing. No bad should come from such a thing. And what would be happening is that Avraham's leaving by the mitzvah of Hashem was very indirectly, as we all can see, very indirectly the cause of Lot. Avraham didn't tell Lot to go. Lot chose to go, right? And it was Lot who chose to go to Stein. And he brought up all the problems why they went to Stein. So all this is Lot's making. We usually say to ourselves, Lot, he got himself in all this trouble, which he did. But being that at all, none of this would have happened if not for the fact that Abraham left Canaan by the mitzvah of Hashem, so no bad can come from that. No bad should come from that. Very interesting. The way I understand the Ramban is, and I think it's the Ramban's, because Ramban adds the words, no bad should come from Avraham who went out by fulfilling the mitzvah of his creator. Mm-hmm. Right? Avraham did a mitzvah. Avraham did what he was supposed to do. No bad should come out of that. Now again, that's not enough to save Lot. Once Lot also did a chesed with Avraham, so now he somehow or another can now be protected by this idea of when Avraham did a mitzvah, how can any bad come from it? Now, but then he goes further. The Gamzeh HaYoha Inyan, this is also the explanation, Shasam Avraham Nafshei B'chapai, that Avraham basically put his life in danger, Lerdev HaMalachim Avurai, to fight a war with the kings on behalf of Lot. In last week's parsha, after the four kings defeat the five kings, which means the four kings are pretty mighty, they take Lot as a captive. Avraham hears about it, and he wages war with four kings. That was pretty dangerous, if not suicidal. But why did Avraham do it? For the same reason as we just said. For the same reason as we just said, Avraham felt he had to go out and rescue Lot. Now, on this line that it says, this is also the reason why Avraham put his life in danger to save Lot. The Art Scroll has a translation of the Ramban with some very good commentary. And in the commentary, they explain this last line that the reason why Avraham put his life in danger was because Avraham was the one who told Lot to leave. Avraham told Lot to leave. So because he was the one who told Lot to leave, therefore he had to be the one now to save him. Again, all this is if you look at it, it's all very indirect. But Avraham, since Avraham was the one who told Lot to leave, and that's how Lot landed up in Stein, therefore Avraham said, "No, I can't let anything happen to him." So that sounds like according to that explanation of the Ramban, the point is not about Lot leaving with Avraham the first time around. It's about the fact that later on, Avraham tells Lot, it's time to leave, we got to split up. And that caused Lot to be in Stein, and therefore he had to be the one to go save him. That's how they understand it. That's how they translate the Ramban. Personally, to me, the Ramban is a continuation from before. Meaning the same way he said before that Hashem saved Lot because of the fact that no bad should come to Lot from Avraham's leaving Canaan because of Hashem's mitzvah, and if not for that, Lot would still be safe and sound at home, that is the same reason also why Avraham had to go save Lot. Because again, Lot is in this position, he's in this predicament. You know, the Stein being destroyed was the second predicament of being in Stein. The first predicament of being in Stein was that the kings took Stein and they took him as a captive. But again, why was he there? How did he get to Stein? It started again because the same way like Ramban says here. He left with Avraham. Avraham left because Hashem told him to leave. Lot left because of that. And again, how can any evil bad come from Avraham listening to Hashem's mitzvah? So I would understand it as both of them are following the same pattern, the same idea, that there shouldn't be any bad that came from Avraham listening to Hashem's mitzvah. And once he has the merit, once Lot went ahead and did a kindness for Avraham, he had that merit of kindness to Avraham. Now he can now benefit from this idea of no bad coming out of Avraham's mitzvah. So again, it's a very interesting explanation. Rashi says that Hashem remembered Avraham means similar to the way the Ramban begins. Hashem remembered what Lot did for Avraham. He didn't hand him over to Pare. That's what Rashi says. The Ramban says that because Lot did a kindness with Avraham of accompanying Avraham when he left and he was traveling, not to leave Avraham alone, because of that, he now had the merit of Avraham to be protected by the fact that how can any bad come out from Avraham's mitzvah of listening to Hashem to leave his land, which was the reason why Lot, at the end of the day, is where he was.
At the time that Avraham told you go left, I go right?
So no, the first thing that the Ramban is saying is not about that. The Ramban, the first time, is clear. It's about Avraham leaving Haran when Hashem told him to. That's Lech Lecha. The second line, where it talks about how Avraham put his life in danger, meaning when it was the others seem to be learning that when Avraham did it, it had to be because of what Avraham did. And when Hashem did it, it had to do because of what Hashem did. But I don't know, maybe you could say the second way also. Avraham did it because of, again, no bad should come out from Hashem's mitzvah.
Yeah, but you're saying correctly. The map here says that Haran is a father of three children, Sarah, Lot, and Milcah. See, here's the genealogy map. Sarah,